Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Okay, we were talking about football last week on our show.
Yeah, we was.
Crosstown rival.
Man, a matchup of the year. Everybody's waiting for it.
The hype. Hype was on, man.
Monshore 6-1 coming in.
Yeah. Like
powerhouse, man.
Right, and run over everybody.
Yeah, they did a great job for the season.
Yep, until they ran across these big reds. They was lights out. You know how many total yards they had for that whole game, man?
27?
They did get 47.
They got 47?
47 total yards.
Man, Tony, I'm going to tell you this. I thought I was like 35 points. I was like,
I'm going to agree with that. Yeah, margin of victory.
Yep, I said 35 points. I was like,
I think they scored a touchdown, maybe two, something like that.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be 35 points, but when it got to 53.
It was like,
man.
Yeah, man, it was lights out. We had over 400, we had 486 yards in total offense. It was like 10-1, and they never crossed our 50-yard line.
Yeah, I saw that.
They got over there once because we ran a fourth down play. And Cameron didn't get the first down, so they got the ball in our territory, but they did never score. You know, I think they may have gotten one first down, but it was just a total domination from the defensive side of the ball to the offensive side of the ball.
Now I'm about to be the advocate, the devil's advocate.
Okay.
Now, championship team, they had Willie Shanks and the other DB, right? And CJ and them, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say this: who's better?
This group, man.
The Oaks. And Junius or CJ and Willie Shanks?
Oaks and Julius, man. These guys are juniors.
They better, huh?
They better, man. They are better.
All right. You heard it here first, audience.
Those are all-staters. Next year, those two guys going to be all-state, man. And then you throw Miles in the mix.
You're right, Miles. Man, Miles was stood. I forgot about him. He the lurker. He just lurking. They do something.
Yeah, man. This team is actually loaded for next year, okay? Because, we're going to lose Cam. But we see what Amari do with that ball, man.
Amari nice,
man. He only going to get better over the summer.
That's right.
Okay, the offensive line is young. We're losing one guy.
That's Big Evans, that's right.
This team is going to be lights out next year, man, as they will this year. You know, the only team that can beat them in the playoffs is Muskegon. There's nobody in the state of Michigan.
Where that school at?
It's right down the street.
Oh, that's basically
80 West 7.
So they got to look in the mirror to beat their opponents.
That's right, man. Unless we just have one horrible bad game with penalties and turnovers.
Somebody mentioned Orchard Lake St. Mary's. I was like, well, that's a revenge game for us. We play them again.
Bring them on.
Yeah. I don't think they're ready for that.
No.
And then I think that was a 7-0 game.
Yeah,
we lost. They stalled it out, and they got that one score. They stalled it out. So they knew. They was like, look, we can't, because that was D. Thor, the quarterback. They know, if we stall them out and just keep the possession longer than them, we'll be all right, because that was a high-octane offense, and Urshay St. Mary's had the ball longer than us.
They had a good defense, too.
Yeah.
But the only other teams that we see on the other side of the bracket, like you say, is Orchard Lake and River Rouge.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, I used to work in that school district. But they ain't ready either. I'm telling you right now. They not ready.
No. We have 109 playoff points, and they got 70. All right? And we're going into the ninth game of the season. So it tells me that they're playing teams that are not very good.
Oh, they down downriver, Tony. I used to live in that community. They downriver. Okay. They got the Wyandots. They got the Taylor. They got some cakewalks, but they also got some teams that ain't got nobody that's going to the next level.
Okay, they got one loss. I'll tell you who beat them. First game of the year, East Grand Rapids.
So let me ask you this question. What was the score when Muskegon played East Grand Rapids?
That game shouldn't have been as close as it was.
Yeah.
That team just got lucky that night.
Yeah.
You know, the tip ball in the end zone. We had a fumble recovery we still beat them.
Yeah, I remember. I know what that game was. That game was the recruiting game for East Grand Rapids. So they can get some love. So a lot of times you play East Grand Rapids, it don't really count the score. They just like, look, our kids got to look good in the highlight film.
They're scrappy.
Against Muskegon.
Yeah, and you know, you got to look at us. We came off two big games.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes,
and East Grand Rapids came home. Our kids played well. Could have played better. But if we see them again in the playoffs, it won't be close. I mean, they're starting to hit their stride.
Yeah, they know what it is. They see they start to see their potential. That hey, if I'm on my A game, nobody can come near what I'm doing.
Mm-mm. No, and they're absolutely right. You know, that was did an interview with him the other night, and I was asking him about, you know, when you got up for the Shores game, you know, were you nervous? You had butterflies? And it was like, no, we were locked in. We knew what we had to go do, and there was no doubt about what was going to happen. Now, they did admit that they didn't think the margin of victory would be as great, but they said as a result of how they played them, that's the way it turned out.
Okay. So, man, that's...
Yeah, so that's the last All Black OKE Conference Championship. That's over. Next year we go to the green. So Keith, he's got to keep it going in basketball.
That's right.
Take that black championship and go to the green and win some more. So, again, you know, football team looks absolutely awesome. And I think the basketball team is going to just continue this momentum when the season starts. So just great stuff happening. And our kids got excellent grades. For those that may have a question about our aptitude of our student athletes, they are just as good as any academic student at the school.
They don't even that's I just like when I saw that. So then it was either academics or they were trying to make it a violent thing.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh, really?
Yeah,
really.
Yeah,
that's a privileged mindset. They're thinking that you could just come at somebody at a different angle and blatantly say some things. And then how actually people support you and say it.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, but then when I think about it, you're a co-signer and you probably was a student that attended, or you probably an educator or in a business or philanthropist or something in the community. What I worry about, Tony, is this part. If you really like that when it comes to sports, what happens when it comes to employment for my child? I compete against yours and you know he played football in Muskegon.
Okay.
Or what happens when you a community police officer and you see my son played against your son? And your son with him on the Shores, and you see me out just jogging or something. Do you pick with me because of that? Are you that petty as an adult?
Good possibility.
That's what I'm scared, Tony, for.
Yeah.
Our kids are getting these grades. They're doing great. But will we get an opportunity in the community because we great? Or will we get an opportunity because somebody feel like, well, I'm not going to give him an opportunity because you so good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to make you part of what my culture. Or what I'm doing in this community or this growth.
That's
a scary part for me.
Something to consider, man.
Yeah. So
true.
I want to commend Coach Fairfield for coaching.
Yes.
And not as being a coach myself, taking the dogs off when you know your kids, when I see your kids out there practicing in the cold rain and you pushing them since January.
Yeah.
When they get out there, you showing them like this is the makings of a kid putting all that time in and at work. I can't take a dog off. And I'm not calling kids dogs. I'm calling it a mentality and a mindset that we out here in it's raining cats and dogs. It's snowing outside. We practicing.
And we still traveling, practicing outside.
And we pushing our kids.
Yep.
And so then for our kids, this space where they get to play on Friday nights, Tony, is their opportunity for greatness. For they family can be proud of them. Is their honor. Is their courtship. And they got the grades and they got the capabilities to be able to be in that space, and they should be celebrated in the right way.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
So it's just
the fruits of their labor.
Yep. So that
okay. These kids work hard, man. Trust me, they work hard.
So that just hurts because I know I'm around them all the time, and I see them, and I'm like,
they don't deserve it.
Yeah, they don't deserve it.
They don't deserve it.
Nobody's child deserves to be degraded because they're gifted.
Yes.
I thought the scripture said my gift will make room for me,
not
a curse for me.
Not a curse. Yeah,
you gonna curse me because I'm great and I know how to work with others to build something good.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at Muskegon, it's a melting pot of kids.
It really is, man.
The sideline, the relationships, the communities they're from. That's what America's about.
When I see
the Big Reds, I'm gonna say it like that.
Yeah. Well, we can call that the America's team.
Yeah.
Right. It ain't just one all this or all that, regardless of what you know people might think. But no, it is definitely a diverse group of kids, man.
And coaches and people coaches. They're just doing it just for the love of.
That's it. It's a passion, man. I mean, to listen to these kids talk about their coach, and it's not about wins and losses.
No, it's not.
Okay.
He always said that. I always seen him in other interviews.
Yeah. Yeah. What he's doing is it's this relationship. It's this family. You know, I asked him the other night, I said, well, what did you do on your birthday? His birthday was like Monday. He said, I spent it with my football players. Okay? That's what I enjoy, is being around these kids. You know, he wasn't the kind of guy that just, okay, see you later, I'm going to go party, this kind of stuff. He spent it with his kids, man. And he said that was the most enjoyable. I asked, one of the kids in the interview, I said, if you can give Coach Fairfield anything in the world for his birthday, what would you give him? He said, a day off.
Yeah, you're right. Man, he lived that stuff.
That speaks volumes, man. Yeah. Just take your day off, Coach.
Not when you're thinking about it every day. No such thing.
No, yeah. No, man. Truly, truly a blessing that we have.
And it's not no easy job.
No.
It's not easy at all.
No.
But then speaking of that, on that level, we go to the pros. And okay. We see the Patriots beat the Jets 30-0.
Beat them like they were stepchildren.
So when you look at the NFL level, you're like, yeah, these pros that's running these.
Yeah, the performance level.
Yeah.
It differs. You know, there are different levels in the pros.
So then right? They all pros, they lose 30-0.
Yeah. Yeah, man. The Belichick, man, is, you know, a lot of people don't like him. He's not a flashy, you know, flashy guy, but he's an ultimate coach, man. He gets his team ready to play.
He know how to take two-star guys and say, look, just run this route, just block for this quarterback. I guarantee you, you're going to get a nice paycheck from me.
Yeah.
Just do this the whole
season. Just do this, man.
Don't worry about your stats or nothing. Mm-hmm. You might get two catches a game, but I'm going to need you.
Yep. Mohamed Sanu from Atlanta, they picked him up. And they, Justin Bethea used to be with the he was with the Arizona Cardinals, and then he got traded over to it might have been the Ravens, but now he's in New England. This happened yesterday, and these are all season type veteran players, man, and they're just gonna be on a winning team. This guy knows how to get it done, man.
That paycheck coming. I'm gonna play every week. I'm gonna put my life on it. Whatever you ask me to do, I'm going to do.
They ran up, during the game, they ran out of halfbacks, right? They're all injured, banged up. He got linebackers, man. Put a linebacker in, put him in the backfield. I said, you know, it's like everybody's got to play multiple positions other than Tom Brady.
He's like, hey, I played running back in college. I got right. I played in high school.
Yeah, the only person that's got a specific task is our boy Brady. Yeah. Everybody else has to be multitask. And proof is in the pudding, man. You know, the guy said, the quarterback on the Jets, he said, I was seeing ghosts. Because that defense is good, too. Yeah, they put together a great defense.
And I'm not even a Patriots fan.
Right.
I'm a culture fan. When you talk about somebody building a relationship, like you just mentioned with Shane Fairfield, it's all about what you can do when you put yourself in a space in a time. And however you use that time the right way. Whatever comes out of that, the culture you produce will keep on creating itself. Because when you look at this group of kids, these kids came from 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Everybody was calling for Shane's head, or he can't coach, or they saying this and that. And he kept on saying, hey, I'm not here for that.
Right.
I'm not here for that. He said, winning going to be a byproduct of me doing what other things I'm doing. Don't y'all see these kids going to college?
Yes.
Don't you see these kids doing this? Don't you see them doing that? Eventually, the turnover is going to come, he said. He said, when the kids is in the ninth grade, they're going to see what we're doing. I don't got to tell them. They're going to already come in with the mindset. So going back to that, he's got like a Belichick type of
attitude,
swagger,
man.
About himself.
Yeah. Yeah, this just didn't happen. All right. The success that the program has earned, there's been some lumps along the way. But ultimately, this is the kind of environment that breeds the best out of kids, man. This buy-in and people that really care about them. And it's going to be sustained for a while.
Yeah.
You know, when you look down at the levels, the middle school, got a great group of kids coming up, and people get a little bit upset because our freshman or our JV they don't play as well as they think they should. A lot of those kids got pulled up on the big reds.
Yeah, a lot of them. Okay. 10th graders and 9th graders.
Yeah.
But then I want to say this. See, a lot of times when people in the stands, they want at the lower levels. When I coached at lower levels, when I coached a JV or a ninth grade team, when it came to sports, Tony, it's not about wins.
Mm-mm.
It's the system that the varsity's teaching.
It's the fundamentals, the basics, and you will get better as you get older.
Anybody can do athletics.
Okay.
Anybody can be athletic. That's great. But the way we run this system is complex. And I'm getting you ready for the next level. So if you want to be a scholarship athlete, come here so I can critique you. You can run this system the way I expect it. So when I see you in the 11th grade, you're ready for your opportunity. Absolutely. When the winning counts.
That's it. That's it.
When the winning counts. Ninth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, Little Reds, I'm sorry.
Doing it for fun.
You're doing it for fun right now. But if you got a coach that's teaching you foundational skills, which you're about to get into our financial literacy portion, because I still got one more sports caveat.
Okay.
That's what it's about, the fundamentals.
Yes.
Anything you do, the fundamentals. But last sports thing, the Lakers and the Clippers kicked off last night.
That's what the NBA been waiting for, man. And
has he been waiting for it?
This clash of L.A. The clash.
Kawhi Leonard is a silent guy, but he's a silent killer. And when I say killer, I don't mean like he's just like trying to hurt anybody. He's a predator on the basketball court. Yes. He picks his spots. Straight, one move, find it, take it. You in my face. You got your hand
up. Can't stop it.
What? You can't stop it. And the way it go in, everybody's smile. It's a dry line. When it hit dry line, the Nets coming up. And that second quarter,
yeah,
he showed me he's getting to the caliber of one of the greatest ever.
Okay. They got to share the city of Los Angeles. It does not belong to the Lakers no more.
Man.
That's a shared situation, man. And I think the Lakers will get better. Yeah. I think
they got two of the best players in the world.
Well, you got remember this. The Clippers brought two players in, right? Two from their last year's team. The only difference in what they got this year, last year, two.
And only one I'm playing.
Right. 13 on the L.A. Lakers. 13 new faces.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, it's going to take time, but based on what happened last night, LA Clippers, the Clippers are a force to be reckoned with in the NBA.
Because they're going
to
be able to adjust better because they got their chemistry is going to be.
That's going to come for LA.
Yeah, they bringing somebody that won a championship last year, so he already got that pedigree.
Mm-hmm.
He's been with San Antonio, so he knows systems. So he's like, look, I've been the man to the man, and I've been the defensive man.
Right.
So I know how to play different roles.
Yep.
I can play point guard. I can play point forward. I can guard your best player. I don't care. I've done this in my career, and I'm young enough to still keep on doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I seen him guard LeBron a couple times last night.
Oh, yeah.
Try to jump on Anthony Davis, which he could not do that. Anthony Davis was killing him. He had about 20 free throws.
Right.
Tank took the ball. They couldn't check him. So wait till he get in his groove. But
yeah.
That's those two games last night, the Pelicans versus
Raptors.
Toronto. Mm-hmm. Excellent. I love that. That did not sell the NBA short.
No.
That other game was great with LeBron.
Yeah.
It was fun to watch.
Yeah.
Stayed up late watching.
Oh, yeah, because that's a late game.
Man, I still woke up early to try to do what I need to do, but I was just happy to see that in that space. And the freak of nature, the boy that came from Duke, the big boy, what's his name?
Zion.
It's a knee surgery or...
Yeah.
A meniscus or whatever.
6 to 8 weeks.
6 to 8 weeks. I think that came from college.
I don't think he was fully healed when he came out of college, really. No. You know, so they was pushing him to
get back on that court to make that money.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got that $90 million from Mike. He said, nah, it's time to fix my leg.
Yep.
Let me fix my leg. And then I know Mike going to get at him because Mike had a similar knee injury.
Okay.
I remember Jordan hurt himself his second year in the season. And he had to sit out most of the season when he had 63 points in the playoffs against the Celtics.
Okay.
Mike had a similar knee injury. So. He probably like, let's put you through this.
Yeah, because he's going to get the best treatment available.
We spent $90 million on you. We're going to get a return.
It's an investment.
Yeah. If you just go on them first five games you're supposed to have been on, we would have made all that money back.
Right.
So, it's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Just looking at that. I know we extended the sports part of the show, but.
Got a little excited.
I was excited about Muskegon and the NBA kicking off. So,
yeah.
You know, Tony, you got some pointers today about the youth today.
Right. We're talking about kids, man. You know, and it's kind of. The theme of the show is kids, young men, young women, and teaching them the concept of saving money, okay? And we as parents, is our responsibility to teach our kids that. Even if you didn't, as a child, if you didn't get the mentoring that you needed to help your child save money. But it's pretty simple, all right? The first concept of understanding what saving money is a piggy bank. All right. I mean, we all probably grew up with one at some point in time. Everybody had a piggy bank.
I had
bank.
A clear one. I remember.
Right. Yeah, shaped like a pig. And you stick it in there.
So right now, I got a big old pickle jar.
Okay.
I got three of them. And what I do is I'm trying to fill up all three.
Right.
Yeah. And I got bank accounts and stuff, but I got the old school too.
Oh, yeah. So that's visual. Still, yeah. It's a visual.
Yeah, I'm still doing that. I just got to keep my wife out of it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to get changed.
He run to the store and get some popcorn, right? Yeah. He shake this change out of this.
I'm trying to get to both all three jars filled, but that's one I got for you.
Yeah, and you know, you can as a grown up, you still use that concept of saving that money. And you get to a point where once the piggy bank is full.
Yes, sir.
Take them to the bank. You physically take them to the bank. If, you know, prior to that, you're going to have to count it out, put it in penny rollers, or you can take the Coinstar. Sometimes they got the Coinstar to count that money out and actually open up a savings account.
Yeah, I put it in my Acorns and reinvest it. So I take that change that I got, the extra change, because it's already rounding up my spare change.
Okay,
and I'm doing $5
when you use your card.
Yep.
Right.
So it's already rounding that up. So I take that change and I just put it in that account. I transfer it, put it in my bank account, then I transfer all that money over there. And I just let it sit there like I didn't have it.
Okay.
And I didn't, it was spare change.
Right. Which is a very good concept for adults to use if they have that type of a debit card.
Yep.
Where it will round it up. So, but if you know you got 5 or 6 year olds at home, of course, they, you know, they're not ready for that kind of savings. But the piggy bank is a great system to understand about starting to save money. And then again, you gotta, you know, as an adult, as parents, we gotta let them, make them understand how credit cards work. Okay, they must understand that, because at some point in time in life, they will get one, go off to college or what have you, and they don't want them to learn by mistake.
Yeah, I'm gonna share a quick story. In our program at MCEC, we always talk about foundational skills. So one of my students yesterday, I'm not going to mention his name, he pulled a credit card out. I said, look, Mr. Williams, I'm doing what you said. Because I have my book in my office.
Uh-huh.
So he didn't grab it. I let him keep it. He said, my daddy doing what you said, man. I said, well, how you get that? I said, your name on that. He said, my daddy signed me up as an authorized user.
Okay.
On his credit card. And he said, I use it to get gas and little medicinal things, but he made sure I pay it every month.
Okay.
So I was like, your daddy teaching you. I said,
how to use a credit card.
Yeah, I said, you know, snuck and learned something just by coming hanging out of my office. He's like, yeah. He said, I saw that. I showed my dad, Hispanic kid.
Okay.
He said, look, man. Look.
That's awesome.
I was cracking up laughing.
But that's good, man.
Yeah.
And he's proud. He's proud. He came and showed you that he had this card. And
Your dad put him on as an authorized user. Credit card. He said, I said, how much is the balance? He said, about $1,000.
Okay.
My dad monitors it and lets me know, like, he said, I need some money from him.
Okay.
Hey.
It's not a free ride.
So we paid the balance now every month. And he said, I got it on me. I got a car. I need gas. So I budgeted like that.
That's awesome, man.
My car for the week. He said, if I want to do a little something, I do that. And I give my dad the money and we pay it down.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, even if you gave him an additional card and you made it a limit of $50, where even if it was, you know, compromised, they still wouldn't be able to get a lot of money off of it. But he sounds like a responsible young man, and chances of him losing that card is, you know, probably nil. But I think that's an excellent story.
He was excited. He didn't look at it as, like you say, Tony, mad money.
Mad money.
He told me, he said, look, my daddy said I got to pay it.
Right. And his daddy probably, he don't want to see his daddy be mad. So, that's so good, man. And that's exactly what we're talking about. Yeah. You know, understanding how that credit card works.
For those kids.
Yeah, as kids, man. And then the other piece to this is build an excellent credit score. Okay, and that's what he's doing.
Yes, he is.
If he put his son on there as an authorized user.
S16, 17.
That's right. He is actually building credit through the help of his dad. He doesn't have the sole responsibility of paying for it, but he's getting an education as to how credit cards work.
Yeah, and that's the benefit of having a parent with the same name with good credit.
Right.
Hey, leave it on my credit report. I paid the house off. Leave it on there. Like, you 18. Hey, leave that on there. That's a come up for me at 18.
Right.
You know, so a lot of times people have, like, they name it to their dad or something, and then their dad got bad credit.
Right.
And then they got things on their credit report from their parents.
They got to make sure there's a distinction between junior and senior. I've had them come off, make sure you put junior on there.
Yeah. But then if your credit good, your daddy credit good, and you in a good place, be like, oh, I'm doing good. I ain't got no credit. My daddy got a house with my name paid off. Leave that on there.
Right.
My daddy got good credit. He got an 800 credit score. Leave that on there.
Okay. That's right, man.
So I'm telling the audience, what Tony just mentioned is leave a legacy for your kids.
Right. And a lot of times, you know, it's not always money, but we would like to make that a part of it. But the part of the legacy is that my dad taught me how to be financially responsive and responsible in hopes of him teaching the grandchildren the same thing, right?
Being financially fit and having that mindset going in. Like yeah. you said, like, if I'm your parent, I'm going to help you be accountable. I'm going to give you an opportunity to be on my credit report as an authorized user. I'm going to show you how to build your credit and then send you on your way. And now you're good. If you have any mistakes or anything happens, you come back and talk to me. I'm
absolutely. Yeah. Let's talk about it. You know, besides ignoring it, because that's when you really get into trouble, when you ignore the finances of a credit card. I say, well, I'm not going to pay it. Okay, well, there's a price that you will pay for not being fiscally responsible. So, again, another great example is take advantage of what banks offer. Okay? There's, you know, checking, saving, CDs, credit card loans, those kinds of things. And, again, it's up to the parent because a lot of times schools don't teach it, not on the level that I think that it should be taught. So, as a parent, it's your responsibility to make sure that they understand how these things work. And it could be, like I say, as simple as just opening up a checking and a savings account to teach your child that you don't need to spend all the money that you earn. There, you should always have the mindset that you're going to save. If it's $5 a week or $10 and you got a small part-time job, or if you do, you know, side work for folks, cleaning yards, shoveling snow, whatever it is, but it's not to be used. The money, you know, you don't spend every dime that you have. You should always teach your child to have something that they can fall back on. Right. And again, that's the, you know, that's the work of the parent.
It's, I mean, Tony, I don't say I struggle with it, but I struggle with teaching people that, like, some people want the shiny things in this world.
Yeah. You know?
And, like, I seen somebody the other day, they had made a post or something, and they said, I can get this car if I put $1,000 down.
Okay.
So then I wrote, and I was like, look, bro, do the car you currently have, is it paid off? He was like, yeah. So I said, well, what about a life insurance policy or taking that $1,000 and investing in your and check on your retirement plan?
Mm-hmm.
Take that $1,000 and put it in a and keep on riding that other car. The car you in right now, it's going to feel like a Cadillac.
Yeah.
Your bank account going to be like a Cadillac. So when you step out, you're going to feel like a Cadillac.
$1,000 going to be there.
Yeah.
It's going to be more probably.
Yeah, I wouldn't want a deteriorating asset.
Mm-mm.
I would want a
appreciating.
Yeah, I want to step out and be like, look, I smell like new money.
Right.
Not the car.
Nope. Mm-mm. No, when it comes to the point where you know, you get to a point where, yeah, you must have a new vehicle, or not a new one, but a different one.
That's right.
Repairs, breakdowns, that kind of thing. Those are the warning signs to say, okay, I got to make a decision as to I do keep putting money into this car, or is it time to go get another one? Those kind of things happen, but you need to be prepared financially to make those decisions. And part of that is saving your money.
Yep, saving it. So it's just teaching our kids that so they're like, oh, daddy's still driving the same car. Some people say, like, man, you had this truck a long time. I say, yeah, so just imagine what I've been putting in the bank.
Okay. That's how you got to look at it.
Look at it like that. And just dad's done taught me a valuable habit. Like, oh, I'm still cranking up. I'm still going.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
oil change, tires, tune up, you know, and it's in great shape because it's about point A to point B.
That's
how
it.
Much do you want to pay, especially in this town, to get from point A to point B?
Can I get around the Seaway? And can I get back around the Seaway?
Yeah.
I don't got to be like I'm in Detroit when I was in Detroit a couple
years
ago.
Oh, yeah, big difference.
My friend, they say 20,000 miles a year. I say, oh, I miss that. I say, when I had a car, my brand new car back then I bought, and I put like 30,000 miles on it in 1 year. I said, this life not for me. I can't.
I've been there, done that, man.
I can't do this. Rotors and stuff dusty. He's like, what's that noise? Mufflers hanging. You hit by 50 potholes.
Yeah. You see a lot of shiny new cars in Detroit. You also see a bunch of raggedy ones, don't you?
And then they be like, I got this car in the city. Like, don't buy that car. They hit about 1,000 potholes, Tony.
That's it, man. And they got them, too, just like Muskegon do.
And they painting them, and they trying to resell them to you so you can think that you got something good, but you actually got a limit because they've been through some bumps and bruises.
So for sure, man.
Yep.
Number five is spend less than you earn.
Yes, that's my favorite.
Okay.
Man, stack of stars.
That's the one that's hard to get people to understand is number five.
Trick yourself.
Okay.
Trick yourself into a budget. That's what I say.
Okay.
Like you always say, have your mad money on you. Right?
Yep.
So like, all right, well, I know I got a full tank of gas. It's dinner at home. We're going to go out probably once a week, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be some takeout once a week. I know what these bills look like. So when this $200 a summer, whatever your number, your mad money that's gone for the week, that's it.
That's it.
So then you're like, I'm some of you, I hit the number. I hit the number for $10,000. Well, Just take a thousand of that and have fun with it.
Thank you.
Go crazy with a thousand. Spend it all. I can tell you, get you a nice hotel room, take your wife somewhere, or take your husband somewhere, good time, and just be like, all right, I've had a ball with $1,000, but yeah. I still got $9,000. I'm about to invest
this $9,000. That's going to be my nest egg. That's going to be my fallback in case something happens to me unexpectedly. I want to be able to survive that period of time when things get rough.
Yep, when things get rough. Man, you always be segueing into the end of the show. So I was like, I pulled the scripture today, and it's called The Power of Tithing. And it says 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7 in the NLT, the New Living Testament, right?
Okay.
And talk about Elijah. Elijah helps a poor widow. It's one of my favorite stories. It says, one day, the widow of a member of the group of the prophets came to Elijah and cried out, my husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord, but now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves. So back then they can't even take the kids.
Right.
No credit man, I'm gonna take your child.
Right.
Off.
Yeah, we don't want your hut. We're gonna make your kids work this off.
So like you said, we're talking about a show with kids. Teach your kids about money. We don't want to take it back to the Old Testament times where they take your kids from you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, the creditors.
Take your kids. You gotta come and get in this car. Your mama laid on this light bill.
You finna work the fields, pick the cotton. Yeah.
You know? So then it goes on, Tony. It says, what can I do to help you, Elijah asks, right?
Mm-hmm.
She said, tell me, what do you have in the house?
Okay.
He asked, like, what you got in the house? Because even though you don't got no money, what you got? What asset? What liquid?
What assets do you have? Oil.
Liquid.
You got oil, olive oil. You got clay pots or whatever.
So then she goes and says, nothing at all except what you just said, a flask of olive oil, she replied.
Okay.
And he's like, So they're about to take your kids. The only liquid access you have in the house, right?
Yes.
Is olive oil. Yeah, woo.
Okay.
So then it says, verse 3 says, and Elijah said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Borrow.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's a valuable possession in somebody's house.
Yeah.
Those vases, because they carrying them on their head, they holding them for the water, right?
That's how they survive.
They need them, right?
Right.
Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour the olive oil from the flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled. Is he giving her some type of financial advice?
I think that's what he's saying.
Take these legal assets, put them here, close behind closed doors, don't let everybody know your business.
Right.
You're trying to save some, right?
Yep.
So she did as he told her. Her sons kept bringing in jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon, every container was full to the brim.
Now,
she could see the oil, right? She just kept on pouring it.
Right.
She's like, hold up, I'm about to run out. Hold on. Yeah, just keep on pouring.
Just keep pouring.
Right? Bring me another jar, she said, to one of her sons. He said, there ain't no more.
We out of jars,
he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing.
Okay.
So, when she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over. Liquid assets. That's what you talked about today,
that's
Tony.
It, man. You got to understand.
Your kids about money. They was in the room when the door was closed, and they was bringing the bottles in.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw their mama in the penny jar.
Yep. That's it, man. It's like having a jar full of pennies in your house, and somebody bring you some more, you turn them up, and they fill them up. But it's because you were saving, right? You had something to start with. She had some olive oil to start with.
Yeah. And also you need to take the advice.
Take the advice.
If you don't, audience, if you somebody give you some advice and they done been through your current situations or circumstances, don't look at the person. Look at the situation that you are in and say, hey, I might as well do what they say. I don't got nothing but some oil.
Yeah. Because what I've done didn't work, yep. So I'm going to need to take their advice.
So they get ready to take what I really love, which is my kids. That's what her situation was.
Yep.
I might as well do what he said. It sounds crazy, but I ain't never been in this situation before.
Okay. It worked.
It worked.
That's great, man.
Yep. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.